an Unspoiled Network podcast.
This is Unspoiled, covering Orphan Black, Season 4, Episode 10. What is it called again?
Something about mice.
Yeah. Welcome to Unspoiled. I think I'm a clone now. There's always two of me just hanging around. I think I'm a clone now. Cause every chromosome is a heavy down. You're so professional. Guys, we had to do that fucking intro three times because we both kept getting weird errors, and I finally just gave up on trying to be pithy and got it fucking done, okay? Everybody, that's deal fair. With it.
Nobody cares about the titles. The titles don't even make any sense. It's the one, it's the finale, folks, of the fourth season, and it has something about mice in the title.
Something about mice.
Something about mice.
There's no cum being used as hair product in this one.
No. it's not that movie.
So, everybody, welcome to the show. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Maggie.
And yeah, so, okay. This whole thing makes me super mad, and I hate it. And did I say I still didn't trust Rachel, or did I only think it?
No, I'm pretty sure you said it. If you didn't, maybe I just, like, psychically assumed that you did not still trust Rachel, because she's Rachel.
And I would like to say, for the record, that even if I said it, I didn't mean it this much.
Right.
This is a lot.
Yeah.
This is a lot extra awful than even I anticipated.
Yeah, because when she's all clones are farm animals, and why shouldn't we just put, like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she has some weird self-image problems that maybe she should address. I don't know. I really like this episode until, like, the last 15-ish minutes or so. At which point I'm sort of like, okay, she's gone supervillain. And B, like, then it becomes, like, a slasher film for a minute. And then there's a lot of just running around in the woods, which doesn't do it for me. But I like the first bunch of the episode a whole lot. So that's just my take on stuff. I'm always happy when Crystal shows up.
Yes, same. I'm very glad that they finally have decided to, like, include her in a complete and real way in the whole thing, even though she doesn't really get it.
No.
That Estee was Lauder. A great little... What a beautiful, unexpected, like, who are you again?
That's what your you clone. Think I look like?
Yeah, whatever.
She's like a 7 on a good day, and I've been told I'm a 10.
Even if you could get a brush through that hair.
And Felix girl. Being like, she's not wrong.
And I totally get what you mean about the, like, supervillainness of Rachel at the end. And on the one hand, it is really over the top.
Yeah. It's in character. I'm not saying it's not in character. I'm just saying when she starts stabbing people, I'm like, okay.
Right. But on the other hand, I do, as somebody who likes things to be in black and white, really like just knowing that I can completely hate her unreservedly without ever wondering if she's maybe going to turn out to do something decent.
Okay, good.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that seems fair.
Like,
I understand.
It wasn't like I, like, trusted her, but I at least kind of was like, well, you're a bad guy, but you could do good things still. Even though you are a bad person. And so I sort of, like, withheld that. And now I'm just like, oh no, you're just a bad guy.
You think this is just fully irredeemable at this point, or it's just not... Okay.
Yeah. Like, she came really close to killing Sarah.
Yeah.
I honestly kind of wondered if that wasn't going to... If they weren't going to do that. Because...
I mean, there are lots of other people for her to play on the show. Like, killing off Sarah does not mean ending the show.
Exactly.
Right.
And how amazing would it be if suddenly Crystal were in charge? I would watch that show for however many seasons they felt like putting into it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So, yeah, I just didn't... Oh, it just went so off the rails. The one thing that I am delighted by is I didn't think that Cosima would find out Delphine was alive before the end of the season.
Oh, that is nice that they just dealt with that as opposed to having that be hanging over her head.
So, yeah. So, shall we talk about this, Ish?
Sure.
So, yeah. We start off with a flashback of Delphine getting shot in the parking garage. And we're seeing this all from Crystal's perspective this time. And her amazing I am a warrior fucking ringtone gives her away. I can't take how much I don't recognize Delphine in that one shot of her in the camp. Because they show that in the little, like, previously on. And even knowing it's her and even having the next scene be her,
still,
it still doesn't look like her to me. It's crazy. But yeah, I didn't even realize that Duco was the one who shot her.
No, did they show that before?
I don't think they ever said or specified or showed it. We only see things from her perspective.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the... Yeah. So it was nice to see a little bit more Duco.
Yeah, because he's dead, so I know he gets his comeuppance, even though it's, you know, a flashback. I'm just kind of like, huh, yeah, do whatever you want, you dick.
Yeah.
You're about to get smashed.
Like, hard.
Actually, that sounds wrong.
Not
Never mind.
Sexual. Yeah. Let's not talk about that with him. I don't like that at all.
I did find it weird, though, that when her her ringtone goes off, he just, like, looks around vaguely and then runs away instead of really trying to find if somebody else is there.
Yeah, that's pretty lazy.
It is, right? And then that other van pops up so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really understand what the deal is with, because I assumed that Doku did this because what's-her-face asked him to. Eva.
Yeah,
Evie, right.
But then her doctor is the one to come and save her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems like they've got their own little... Everybody's... There's too many factions on this show.
I agree.
I don't, like... And
it's like
I'm somebody who appreciates a good faction. Don't get me wrong.
I like the shows with the factions. I always liked that about Lost, that there were factions. But in general, I feel like it gets to the point where there's such micro factions on this show where it seems like each individual is their own faction to a certain extent. And I'm like, how am I supposed to keep up with this? Like, if you can't have any institutional, like ability to hang together as an institution, you group, you faction, then I don't think you're a decent faction. Now you're all just people running around doing all sorts of crazy shit. It's no
good. And like the point of a faction is so that you like can figure out what their common goal is and then work with them as a group. And if everybody seems to have like opposing goals, then how can you negotiate or do anything? Because everybody wants to do something on their own.
At some point later on, somebody says something about, I don't know who it was, they describe as being a Neolutionist. And I'm like, but are they though? Because what does a Neolutionist actually mean anymore? Like, Susan's a Neolutionist, now Ferdinand's a Neolutionist, and then who's a Neolutionist? Like,
even though he supposedly
Is Delphine a Neolutionist? Like, who is a Neolutionist at this point? All of them? You can just call all the bad guys Neolutionists because they all have some tie to the group. But they're all working for their own purposes.
So
it's frustrating, is all.
It is. It's just like, I feel like the more they do that, the more it's going to undermine my, like, faith that anything is going to work out. And maybe that's supposed to be what's happening. Maybe I'm not supposed to think that anything in particular is going to work out. Mm-hmm. Is that how I'm supposed to live? Does it feel nice?
Is that how I'm supposed to live? That's but not like, living.
I just don't really... My main thing, whenever it comes to, like, political intrigue and backstabbing and whatever, is I need to be able, if not to straight up predict what's going to happen, at least follow the chain of thought that leads to certain decisions being made. And I can only follow the chain of thought episode to episode because we keep getting new information that apparently nobody else knows about. Like, every time it's new to us, it's new to everybody, yeah. It feels like. You know, like, when we have Sarah talking to What's-His-Face later, and she's asking, well, who do you work for? It's like a whole thing, a whole nother, that they have no clue about. And how is it possible for them to have brushed up against as many people as they have and done as much research as they have and never have come across certain names or faces or anything?
Right.
It just feels really, it's a strange thing where it's almost like they're doing like a Monster of the Week, except
it's totally serialized at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
an interesting way of looking at it.
Faction is a monster.
Right. I like that. So, I mean, I don't like that, but I like your description of it.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
There you go.
So, yeah, so, all right. Then we go to a scene that really kind of fucked me up, which is Cosima figuring out that she has succeeded in finding the baseline for a cure that they can use to treat her, and calling Sarah on Skype and them both getting super emotional about it. And her acting in that moment is just ridiculous. Yeah. It's so fucked up. And I hate so much what happens to her. Cosima. She's just so... The moment where she starts crying, it just feels so real. Like, because she just puts her hand over her face. Ugh. And everybody's so happy and hugging, and then access denied.
Oh, you get, and like, I was like, 5 seconds of happiness. So little happiness. They can't let him have. Ah, I gotta say, it's just, it's not fair.
And I have to say that there is a point to me where I don't understand the benefits to just letting her die. Because they talk about wanting to experiment, well, cut off its tail and see. Well, how about try and cure it and see? Right. Is that not an experiment? Like, yeah. I don't understand why that's being completely written off as like the self-indulgent exercise.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, they've let plenty of people die from this already.
Right.
Like, now see what happens if you treat it. Because you know who's going to need to get treated for it? Rachel. And maybe Rachel would want to try it out on somebody else first that she doesn't give a shit about.
Yep.
Just saying.
Oh, I hate her so much.
Yeah, she's the worst.
So, let me go to Crystal, who is having brunch with a friend. An adorable, weird brunch with, like, a coffee table instead of a regular table, which I hate. Can I just say how much I hate that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I think it comes from me being somebody who, like, has big boobs that everything falls on anyway. And then just being heavy, leaning and eating over a small table like that, oh my god, it's so uncomfortable. Maybe they're just waiting for a table. Maybe that's all it is. But yeah, she's watching the TV and this fucking guy from Brightborn is on the TV and she calls Felix and is informing him about what's going on, but tells him that she has some info on this dude and she won't give it unless she's told more. And Felix goes along with this initially, thinking that he can still fool her later. Which turns out to not be the case, because she's just not having it. I really can't wait for her to meet other clones, because I don't know what she's gonna do. Like, if she doesn't think Sarah looks like her,
let's put her in front of Cosima. Like, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So she winds up, to just kind of wrap up what happened with her. She winds up being brought downstairs to the secret basement of the comic book store.
Which, the scene of them in the comic book store is so funny. With what's his name again? Something King.
Death Demon. Demon Death.
Sure. Death King, that, Demon. But you know who I'm talking about. That guy. And Scott behind the counter, like, at her. And she turns away from them, drinking her, like, iced coffee or whatever it is, with this look on her face of just, ugh.
She cannot be bothered with these two jokers.
Yeah. She's like, why am I in this place? This place is not a place for me. Make it stop.
This place is not a place for me.
It's not. Like, she's definitely looking around that, like, what? She has never been in a comic book store before, I can tell you that much.
That I 100%
verify that she has never been in a comic book store before. Possibly never seen a guy wearing a comic book related t-shirt before.
Or at least it never registered. It probably still hasn't.
Right.
But yeah, so she tells them about this dude and how he's the guy who showed up at the scene of Delphine's shooting and saved her, and they piled her into a fucking van and drove away with her. It's a pretty crazy story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I, again, still not sure what to make of it. Apparently, when we see Delphine later with Cosima, she is, like, free to do what she likes to a point.
To an extent, yeah.
So, I'm just not, you know, I'm just wondering what the deal is with these people and why they scooped her off, because maybe they needed her brain because she's smart.
Right.
I don't know. So we go to Ira and Rachel, and I don't even want to do this. She's like not letting Ira in on anything either.
No.
And it's such a shame because they, like, take Ira as collateral later, and it turns out that's completely useless.
Yep.
Well, it might not be completely, like, later, but at the moment it sure seems totally pointless.
Like, and why would they think she, like, even really cares all that much about Ira? Like, he's not very good collateral.
I think they thought they could use it against Susan.
I guess.
Because they misunderstood.
Yeah, they misunderstood what was going on.
And I love the fact that, like, throughout this first scene where they're talking to Rachel, she's literally cracking an egg. Because, you know, she's going to make an omelet. She's not. She's going to eat that straight up boiled egg.
She
like fucking pointed. Stannis Baratheon. But, yeah, she is. It's almost. It's like a very sterile, low key version of Tywin Lannister skinning a fucking deer.
Yeah. Right?
A
little more subtle.
Yeah. Oh, God, that is a good scene, though. You know what? You don't always gotta be subtle, and sometimes I'm fine with it. Not that Game of Thrones knows anything about that, but...
Knowing how to be subtle?
Yeah! So, alright, moving past that moment, then we have Cosima talking to Charlotte, telling her that she's going to be okay, despite the fact that things seem very not okay. And as she's saying this, starts bleeding out of her nose. And it is really upsetting because... And I'm going to call the show out a little bit in that they don't make her seem like she's ill unless they need us to be really worried in that moment.
Right. I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I forget how pressing this is until little moments like that, when then I'm like, oh, right. It's kind of hasn't been that long since she found out that she's been sick. So I have it in my head that there's been a longer, like, time lapse. And so because of that time lapse, I think either this progresses really, really slowly, or it's going to suddenly be really bad and I will have forgot about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it never really seems to do that. It always seems to be like, well, just right now, it's really terrible.
Yeah.
But she'll probably be able to survive for another week after this.
Right. You because know? It's been a couple of times now where I've really been like, oh, okay, she's really sick now. Like the time she was bleeding out in the bathtub.
Oh, that was a bad one.
You know?
Forgot about that. Yeah.
And then it's like, but she's fine again now. She's just going to do some science.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, all right. So it's just hard to track, like, what's serious and what's not. So here, you know, it's even hard for me to take seriously, like, okay, she's bleeding out of her nose. She was bleeding out in the bathtub last, what was it, last season? The end of last season that happened?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like, that seemed way worse than bleeding out of her nose, and that was a while ago. Like, she's been fine. I don't feel that concerned, really, but I guess I'm supposed to feel more concerned? I don't know. They're really up and down.
Got better. Yeah, I just, I don't know. It's a weird thing because I really like Cosima, and I understand that they can't have it be, but it just doesn't feel like it's handled very well.
No.
It's
inconsistent. It doesn't bug me on like a moment-to-moment basis, but it is inconsistent.
Yeah, when it happens, I go, oh shit, and then I go, well, which is not really what you should do in the very next moment. Speaking of so Evie's having a meeting.
Ooh, not a good one.
This is not going the way that she expected. Mm-mm. She is standing up in here really thinking that she's going to be able to dictate shit because she invented whatever. I don't even fucking know what exactly she's responsible for here. But they're trying to get her to sign a paper. Basically, it would be a sweetheart deal for her where... No, she would not get the credit, but she would get to walk away with probably a pretty tidy sum and just kind of disappear. Mm-hmm. Instead, she wants to stick with it because she has built this, yada, 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 and she starts flipping out.
Yeah, she has like a tantrum.
Yeah.
That doesn't go over well.
And this dude comes up and does something to the thing in her cheek.
Yeah.
And it twitches and she just goes down.
Yeah.
And
it's like tendrils go through her face.
It is so fucking horrifying.
It's pretty gruesome.
And this dude is way too close to her, talking to her. You built it. Let it take you. And I'm like, get the fuck away from her face. You are like 10 inches away from those things.
Yeah.
Move back, sir. It's really pretty cold-blooded. How everybody just watches this happening and then gets up and leaves the fucking room.
I love that. I love the way it's shot too. Is like you just see them all going away in the background. It's like they've come into the foreground on Evie and you just see them all get up and walk away quietly. I'm like, that's creepy as fuck.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Like it's just, they're just, oh, we're done here. Mm-hmm. It's like they finished a level on a game and they're like, just bored now. Bored now.
Yes, very bored now.
I'm just like, honestly though, if I was going to pick a death from her, that would be pretty, that's a pretty good
one. That's a good one.
Her dying via the tendrils, I'm all right with it.
That's poetic.
Let's go back a few seconds, because I kept talking as we moved into the next scene. Okay, the next scene is Helena in her amazing fur hat, in her wigwam.
Making her venison stew. That's made out of intestines, apparently.
Oh, God.
Yeah. If you're going to cook some venison, really, you're going to go with the intestines? Because I've seen some decent venison stuff.
I'm sure that the steaks are the first thing to go. Yeah. And they just have to figure out something in the end.
Yeah. Intestines.
I want to help my sestras. Yeah, so she offers to go and kill Evie. And they're like, no, girl, it's cool. I think that she might not actually be the problem right now. And speaking of the problem, there's a knock at Rachel's door, and she opens it, and there's Ferdinand with room service, by which I mean his dick, on a plate. And she tries to put him off, saying that she doesn't feel anything anymore after his, issue. after her issue, mm-hmm. and he kind of throws his own tantrum, a la Evie, and is like, I took so long to find you, and basically, I can't decide if he actually believes her, or if he's saying, even if you can't feel anything, so what? Do it anyway?
Right.
Which I kind of think is what he's actually saying. Am I wrong?
Maybe.
But, yeah, he pushes it with, we had plans, you and I. And then, your eye is magnificent, but your self-pity is repugnant.
Oof.
Which, I don't, was that self-pity? Or was he just trying to bait her?
I think he's trying to bait her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that moment, I was just like, I'm not sure what's going on with Rachel in that moment. Like, is she's just decided she's going to use him, right? That yeah. he's not going to go away, so she's going to have to figure out a way to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
I think that's a fair interpretation.
It's
just hard to know with Rachel, you know, her motivations are always suspect. So if, you know, I don't believe she has necessarily any real emotions towards Ferdinand the way that he does towards her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's capable of that. I just don't know.
Yeah. That's a question. Is she capable of it? I don't think so. I don't think she is. Like, she's just such a mess.
Yeah.
With every relationship, it's just been super... Yeah, no. I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, her father, she's, like, imprisoned him and is screaming at him, but then he kills himself, and she's like, don't leave me again. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's like a possessive thing versus yeah. It's so strange. Rachel's kind of fascinating, as much as I hate her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if, like, it's warranted, if it's just, you know, oh, I'm interpreting her as fascinating, when in fact the writers just don't really know what they want to do with her, which might be the case.
Yeah.
But... Nevertheless,
if it works, it works.
So, yeah, you know, I'm kind of like, all right, do what you need. So Rachel decides that she's going to go ahead and cuff him to the, what is it? There are two like side lamps and that feels like super dangerous to me. Like, doesn't feel like it would take that much to yank those free.
No,
but I guess it's just the mental thing. And she is astride him with a riding crop
mm-hmm.
when Ira comes in and is just like, oh.
He has his socks on. That's the best part.
I love that line. That is a very personal thing for me because I remember distinctly, I was sitting next to this guy I had an enormous crush on in my art history class. And there was this weird statue that we were studying that the dude was naked but wearing this enormous hat. This statue.
Mm-hmm.
It was really funny. And then the teacher said something about how maybe they thought it was sexy. You know, like in Playboy, she'll wear nothing but cowboy boots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like mm-hmm. a thing. And I muttered something about as long as the guy isn't naked except for his socks.
Right.
And I guess he heard me because we started dating and he really was like, he always took his socks off. And I mentioned it one time and he was like, well, yeah, I heard you like be really snide about that. And so it made me very self-conscious and I made sure to do that like first thing every time I got undressed. And I was like, you know what? I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm not even going to be like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel bad. No, you should feel bad. Yeah. Take your socks off.
You are detail oriented and I like that about you.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of like a woman like being totally naked, but for a bra, but she doesn't have panties on.
Yeah. That's
like, it's a weird backward thing where you're just like, what?
Call that the Carrie Bradshaw.
Oh my God. Yes. Listen, she is free to not show her body if she doesn't want, but it is a distracting thing to have happen over and over in that show.
Over and over.
It's just silly. Like, come on.
I know you want to have her on top and stuff, but, like, if she, like, just have her under a sheet somehow, because it's just, it is very distracting. It's literally every time.
Especially considering how much of the actual clothing she wears that leaves nothing to the imagination. Right. So it's like, I don't really get, but all right, fine.
Do what you need, Sarah Jessica.
I guess. Yeah, this is like one of the only scenes where I've actually liked Ira.
Yeah.
And the, who is this? it's just, he's so nonplussed by the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right, so then we have the confrontation between Susan and Cosima after Susan makes her phone call, basically being like, yes, we're totally going to bring back the clone program. Mm-hmm. And Cosima is over here kicking herself for not thinking this through and realizing what her agenda might actually be. Mm-hmm. And I kind of have to agree.
Yeah.
I mean, what choice did she have, though? She's dying.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, she's fucking screwed. Getting out when they were able to is pretty much the only opportunity. Like, I'm glad that they did it and just ran, even though they very nearly died. Mm-hmm. Because she should have run here.
Yeah, as opposed to coming in and confronting her and getting locked in a room.
Yeah.
Which is not...
I don't think she should have confronted her, period.
Right.
Like, right? Do you... would you have? What would you have done here?
Well, what's... I mean, it's a question of whether she... she must just still have some faith that she can reason with her? I don't know. Cosima's too nice.
Yeah.
She thinks well of people who probably don't deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm trying to think, like... because walking in there does seem like, why would you be worried about that? You know, like, you wouldn't, you don't think somebody's just going to lock you in a room. But you did just hear this person selling you up the river and not giving a shit if you live or die.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. This whole thing is the back and forth and back and forth and back and forth has gotten tiresome, and I'm glad that it seems like we're leaving this behind and moving on to another thing.
Yep.
But we'll see whether the next season kind of starts to take up this pattern again or not, because whether or not certain characters are still there is kind of irrelevant. They can still keep just doing this.
Right.
But so then we have this moment with Crystal. And she is going up to Dr. Van Leer, pretending to be
from TMZ.
Oh, it's great. I'm TMZ. I want to know if you have a comment on the attempted murder of Dr. Delphine Cormier. Oh, everybody. What? I'm sorry? Can you clarify? Who is Dr. Cormier? And I'm like, girl.
All the reporters on this story are so confused.
Because they don't know what they're even beginning and ending with.
What are they covering anymore?
I love the moment where he's like, you want to come inside? And she goes, do I look stupid? And he clearly kind of wants to be like, a little.
Mm-hmm.
In her fucking faux fur coat and rhinestone sunglasses that I love.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
Not even gonna lie. But, yeah, this whole little thing is pretty great because she meets him around the corner, and Mrs. S grabs him and takes him into the truck, which I didn't expect. I don't know what I expected here, but you know what I think I thought was going to happen here was something involving art.
Yeah, I can see that.
But he can't really, like, show his hand like this, I guess.
He has to stay on the up and up.
Yeah. But yeah, she fucking is sitting in there and pulls a gun on him. And I'm like, Crystal, go you. All right, girl. And it pretty much cuts right from, like, cut the bullshit and her yelling at him to her playing some tabletop survive the zombie apocalypse game with the two nerd boys.
And
I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Wait. And then I realized, oh my God. I totally did not even...
Yep.
Did not even. And once you know, then you're like, oh yeah, her eye makeup is a disaster. Yeah. Like, I got so confused. So yeah, they're asking him like, well, what the fuck is the deal if you're working with, like, and he says, I do what I'm told. My orders don't come from Evie. Mm-hmm. And they're both like, and this is the moment where I kind of facepalm and I'm just like, oh, come on. He says, your side has won. Susan finally has a, like, starting point to do the human cloning again. And they both are like, motherfucker. Which they should have realized already. Mm-hmm. But I guess they just wanted it confirmed.
Yeah.
And then he tells them how Neolution's board has been reconvened by Rachel. Mm-hmm. And then we see her fucking manic Heil Hitler moment.
Yeah.
I mean, she seriously looks like she is about to burst into tears and then pull out a machine gun and just decimate everybody. Like, there, she's just got a combo of things happening here.
Yeah.
That is so uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And can they possibly be taking her seriously? It seems hard to believe to me.
I feel like, I think somebody said at some point, I don't know if it was Evie who said it, like, in what world would Neolutionists really ever respect a clone?
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes me just sort of like, sure, she's on top of things right now, but how much do these people actually respect her?
Right.
So.
And I don't feel like a display like that. I think that she really can't be helping. Yeah, I think she really believes that if she shows no mercy toward, quote, her own kind, I'm not my mother. Susan has no balls. Mm-hmm. That this is going to prove something to them.
Mm-hmm. Other than that she's terribly unstable.
Yeah, I feel like... I don't know. There's something really true, though, about this, like, whole idea of a self-hating clone who's trying to totally distance herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that they did this with one of them.
Oh, yeah. I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It's just, I do really wonder, because for some people it might work. For some people they might be like, look, this bitch is clearly dead serious. She's not fucking around. But I don't feel like the main dude seems convinced, but it seems that Rachel thinks she has convinced him.
Right.
Does that seem right?
I would agree with that, yeah.
And then there's that woman who says, we're listening, but it almost looks like she's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
When she says it, like, she's amused by it. Like, everybody kind of looks amused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of this here.
Yeah.
And her aim is to put bots in all of the clones. We operate in countries where cloning is not illegal, where our corporation supersedes their citizenship, their personhood. So why grant them this illusion of freedom? If we want to know if our lab rats' tails will grow back, well, we damn well will cut them off and see. And this is, like, the dumbest thing. Well, it supersedes their personhood. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Theirs. Mm-hmm. Sure, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're gonna pretend to go along with her and then lock her in a room. 100%, right? Like, there's no way. I just don't see it. I guess we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut to fucking Ira in Fee's apartment where he is finishing his artwork and being told by Art that this is his best work.
Yes.
It's pretty adorable, I loved it.
Yeah.
And Sarah comes in and starts to question Ira, shoves him. And then she starts asking him about Susan and what her plans are. And Neolution follows science. Have you heard this? She's going to the island to follow it, and you know what she's capable of. And he starts to realize, oh, too late, that putting their eggs in the Rachel basket was a real bad and dangerous plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, so much happens. I'm, like, not even sure where to start. First thing, we have Cosima, and she's looking at these drawings that Charlotte's been doing, and one of them has the other wigwams. I'm going to call them that, even though they're not really, because they're makeshift, in a way. Yeah. It's like a little colony. I don't understand how Charlotte knows they're there. Is she doing the thing that, like, Kira does?
I don't know.
Are you not allowed to tell me?
I don't know.
You son of a bitch.
Hey, this is your format, man.
I know. Sometimes I think I'm hoping I just missed something and you'll be able to, like, fill it in for me.
Like, but with sometimes, Delphine.
Right. Yeah. But sometimes filling things in can be spoilery, so that's, like, a weird... I had that with Dresden Files a couple weeks ago. Rashawn really missed something kind of big, and I wanted to point it out, but I finally in the end decided that if she hadn't picked up on it, then I wouldn't lead her down that path. And it can be hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
So here's fucking Sarah saying goodbye to Kira yet again. Poor Kira.
I don't like this whole ending a season with Kira in peril. It's not fun.
Yeah. I have to admit, I thought they would do more with Kira by now.
Yeah, she's actually kind of gone to the back burner a lot in the last few episodes.
Yeah, there was a lot that I saw, like, coming that has not materialized. And it seemed like they were doing a really specific thing with her that, you know, having, like, powers and intuitions about things I don't know if they decided that it was too supernatural for them to really, like, double down on.
Right.
Or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I'm just tired of the, I have to go away, but I'm coming back. I have to go away, but I swear I'm coming back. Like, I don't know. It's just a lot. I'm starting to get, like, the Walking Dead, like, how many times are we going to do this exact same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of syndrome with this show. But anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Rachel comes home, and this dude is in the kitchen. And he just comes up to her and says, "Susan's waiting for you," which is such a weird thing to do when she's, like, literally 6 feet away. And then, "Do not waver." Which, I guess Susan knew that she was about to get killed?
I don't know.
Because she says it was a messenger. So, I don't really understand the necessity of this man.
No. Other than to set her at sort of a dis-ease, but, like, that doesn't even work with the rest of the scene. It seems unnecessary to me.
Yeah, I'm kind of lost on that. I was hoping that, like, reviewing it now, it would start to click into place for me, but I'm not really getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only listed as the messenger on the Amazon X-ray, too.
Oh.
But yeah, so, like, I at first was like, okay, you're calling him the messenger because he just told you what Rachel was up to, but it feels more like he just told you that you're about to die. I don't know. But it doesn't really matter, because Susan is telling her, you don't know what you did, you are owned, and you are betraying yourself, you fucking dummy, is the subtext there. And she winds up stabbing her with a kitchen knife, and I should have seen it coming, but I still didn't. I really didn't. I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but stabbing was so brutal.
Yeah, it was. This whole thing is really brutal.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know what I kind of had expected is, like, some kind of fight where Rachel, like, loses her temper and, like, tries to shake her off as she's trying to, like, hug her or, like, hold her or something. And she, like, falls back and smashes her head. Mm-hmm. And not, I don't prefer that, don't get me wrong. Because I like that Rachel is making a distinct choice here and that it's not just falling into place for her. She has to choose to get this woman out of the way. Mm-hmm. But it is unexpected, even though it shouldn't be. And I get, you know what I think too? Is that I didn't expect, if Rachel did choose to really get her out of the way, for her to do it in such a direct way. I thought it'd be poisoning or something. You know what right. I mean? Something that was just kind of like, oh, I'm going to have a last moment with you where we're just talking. Oops, that tea I gave you to calm your nerves is your death. But yeah, stabbing. Yeah. Meanwhile, Charlotte comes to get Cosima because Susan has decided to let the two of them flee since she now knows what the fuck Rachel is up to. Mm-hmm. And I just... Okay, so Susan wants them to get to the boat. And Cosima doesn't really want to listen to what Susan is telling them that they should do. Super weird, right? Mm-hmm. And I really like that. I like and dislike. Why are they all on this one island? More than... Okay. I can't ask all of these questions. You don't have answers, and if you did, you couldn't give them to me.
Yep.
This is a little frustrating, though.
It's frustrating on my side, too. Because when it gets to be things like this, I just go, Which can't be fun for anybody to listen to. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, it's hard because, like, you know, this kind of thing points out, like, the difference between the construction of a show that feels like it's got some more grounding in it. Because with something like Westworld, where there's tons of conspiracies and weird things happening and unexpected turns of events or factions or whatever, I was still able to sit and wildly theorize. And there, I would, don't get me wrong, at the end of every theory, I'd go, I don't know, though, that's probably not it. But I still felt like I could kind of do that because I had a grasp on things. I can't do that with this. And I can't, because of that, there's not as much for you to do. Because you can't lead me anywhere because this information hasn't been given to us yet. So, yeah. Guys, do you still like us?
It's a shame.
The board does not have the final say. You are the one I regret making the most, and I will not allow you to move forward with any of this.
You don't necessarily have a whole lot of choice, as it turns out.
Yeah, as she says this, Rachel sees the swan head chopped off on the counter. Mm-hmm. Is Rachel being infected with a crazy eye? Is it the thing that I said where she got the eye of a serial killer or something?
Crazy eye.
And now it's just like taking her over.
She's
because
like
is
an
that
evil hand.
If she hadn't said, who is that? And Susan was like, a messenger. I'd 100% think that guy was just in her head. Mm-hmm. Which makes as much sense as him actually being there, to be perfectly honest.
Right. Let's go with crazy eye theory.
Yeah. Maybe they're controlling her from afar.
With the serial killer's eye.
Yeah. Huh. That'd be super strange. All right. I'm going to go with that theory. She has an eye that's turned her into a puppet. How about that?
Perfect.
Puppet eye. So that's what she's up to. Stabbing her mommy. Sarah is heading over to the island as quick as she can. And she is talking to Allison, who has the runs but is packing heat, and says that she will die for Helena if she has to, because Helena is their precious avenging angel who has burned their sin from them in the flames of righteousness. Sure. She goes crazy there
she
for
does
a second.
For a sec.
Cut to Cosima coughing up blood on the snow in a very dramatic fashion. I'll just, you know, jump to they pass out by a tree and then get saved, and Delphine cuddles her, and it's sweet.
Yes.
So that's enough of Cosima. Sarah busts in the middle of Rachel's little murder sesh. Apparently Susan takes a long time to die.
Yeah.
Because she got stabbed when the sun was still up. And now it's dark. And there's like a long ass blood trail too.
Yeah.
But she's still alive. And it's just this whole thing with like, and all the way down the stairs and everything. I have a hard time buying that she'd be able to make it through this long.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know anything about the human body. I barely know where my own parts are. Where's her parts? Who knows? She's probably like a weird frog with her parts in
weird
the wrong places.
Places.
Yeah.
Do frogs have their parts in the wrong places? Did you know that kangaroos have their testicles above their penises? That's a fun fact for you folks.
Oh my
today.
God, that's hilarious.
Because yeah. Australia, everything's upside down.
Oh my God. I hate you.
I'm sorry. It's so
funny. I hate you for adding that last part. You ruined it, Maggie. God damn it. So she, yeah, Susan is trying to save herself, and, you know, that doesn't work out, because who should sneak up on Sarah with a giant, what is it? Is that just her cane, or is that like a coat rack?
That's her cane.
Oh, okay. She gets Sarah good. Like, this is a really brutal scene.
Yeah.
Really
it
brutal.
It is. And then she gets, like, the knife in her leg, and then she, like, presses on the knife. Yeah. It's rough.
It pissed me off a lot that Sarah, like, and I don't mean pissed me off, like, the way they wrote it, but watching it and her putting up her hand to try and stop her, and Rachel just bashing her arm so that her hand basically falls limp. Like, she clearly broke something.
Yeah.
It is really hard to watch, and I hate it so much. And she gets her in the eye, too. Like, one of her eyes looks like it's at least going to be really black and blue.
Yeah.
If not, like, damaged. It's hard to watch. The whole thing is really hard to watch. Did she inherit the weird eye of the guy? I'm obsessed
You're
with this eye. It's a factor.
With the eye.
She's having visions.
Yeah, I know.
It
I'm
has
not saying
to be
you're
something.
Wrong to be obsessed with the eye. It's just suddenly there's like an eye theme.
Yeah. Yeah. And she says, "You won't shoot me, mother." And fucking she's right,
she's
which
right.
pisses me off so much.
I hate
it. Oh, it makes me so angry that she was right. Don't let her be right. Susan, she stabbed you in the guts.
Yeah. Shoot her.
You dumbass. And Sarah pulls the knife out, but that shit was embedded in her bone. Like, it clearly took a lot for her to get that out.
Mm-hmm.
And she barely stumbles away without getting shot, because Rachel takes two shots. And did one connect? Or did she miss both times? Whatever the case, Sarah's leg is so fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. I think, like, is that the last we see of her, is just stumbling out of the house?
It might be.
Because I think we go to Cosima getting saved by Delphine and them, like, kissing, and poor Cosima shaking like a leaf. Oh, God. It's so hard to watch. To then Susan, who is, like, still fucking alive.
Yeah.
And I guess Delphine, like, patched her up. Or
Rachel.
Delphine, hear me? Rachel. But, like, not well?
Yeah, just sort of shittily patched her up and stuck her in a wheelchair and locked her in a room.
I can't decide if she wants to keep her alive or not. Like,
I mean, she must. Why exactly, I can't say. But she, I mean, she wouldn't have gone to the trouble of patching her up if she didn't have, I don't know, some reason to keep her alive? Or, I don't know. She wants to torture her.
Yeah. That's kind of what I thought, was like, keep her alive for just a little while to question her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is when Rachel's like, I've seen the swan. And Rachel, and Susan mm-hmm. is like, oh, that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. He's growing capricious and impatient. And Rachel says, it can't be. It's been too long. And Susan says, not for him. Mm-hmm. So, I guess this dude is immortal?
He's at least over 100 years old. 150?
Eugenics fucking bastard. Is he the one with... Is he the messenger with the crazy eyes?
I can't say.
His face is nuts. You know what? If it is him, they picked a really great person because it does look like he's been kind of patched together from, like, parts.
From parts.
He would make a really good Mad-Eye Moody, honestly.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Mad-Eye Moody. Old Blue Eye. But I don't understand what this guy's fucking goal is. And, like, how can he... They live in this, like, weird colony. How can he have the technology to do... He has to have access somehow. But, I don't understand how he can, like, be sauntering in and out of Susan's place, either. Does she not have security? Does he, like... Has he bought her and given her that place on, like, condition that she...
Let him come visit?
I guess. Or that, like, basically you're renting for me and I can just, you know, bust in there whenever. Landlord's rights. That's a thing, right?
Landlord's rights?
Yeah, basically landlords, like, in a lot of contracts, it says that they can just kind of come in whenever.
They're not supposed to.
I think they're supposed to, like, call ahead and let you know. Yeah. But in a lot of contracts,
I'm not saying, like, that they don't just come in whenever. This, like, yeah. Tenants' rights organizations will, like, get up their ass about that if they do it.
Gotcha.
Often. Yeah. I have a friend who had to deal with that. It sucked.
Ugh, that would be super creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, no thank you. Oh, I forgot. That isn't the last time we see Sarah, because she calls S.
Right.
And S answers, and Sarah's in the middle of, Mom, I need help, which is, like, the worst possible thing to hear right before the phone is taken out of your hand yeah. by your enemy. Because here's fucking Ferdinand. Don't worry, the whole family's just fine. And he has a gun on them. And I kind of still like him.
I know, so do I.
I can't help it.
He's very likable. Like,
he is, you know? He really is.
I've just seen this guy play, like, a bad guy enough times that for him to play such a jovial bad guy, it makes me kind of like, aw.
Right. Yeah, I just kind of respect, in a weird way, his devotion to Rachel. That, like, for her, it's all about power and opportunism and this weird self-loathing and desire for approval and this complicated miasma of hang-ups and emotions and baggage. And with him, it's very simple. Mm-hmm. I want Rachel. I like her. She's hot.
She please makes fuck me feel things in my pants area.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all it really seems to take. Mm-hmm. And I guess in this crazy show where things are up in the air all the time, I appreciate that simplicity for a change. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I agree.
And it's also, like, kind of weirdly sweet, even though it's really not. But it is a little. So, yeah, you know. All right, well, I think that's...
That's the whole thing. That's the whole yeah. season.
That's crazy. That is a weird spot to end, too, though. Yeah. Is that just me?
No, I agree with that. It's like cliffhangers, but not like, it doesn't seem like a crazy season-ending cliffhanger. But
yeah. Yeah, I'm not really sure. Well, all right, we'll see. I did want to mention that we got two new reviews. How about this?
Hey!
The first one is by Moo, 5 stars in all caps. I like Maggie. I'm sorry, it's from Moo number 2.
Hi, Moo.
I didn't write
two.
A review for the longest time because the degree to which I love Maggie on this show could be taken as an insult to Owen. But my heart can't handle how sad Maggie is every time Natasha mentions reviews. Maggie, you are awesome, and this show is awesome with Natasha and Maggie together. I think it's just that before it was two unspoiled people, and now it's the regular format, but I really prefer the show now. Keep up the great work.
Aww, hey! Thank you.
And then 5 stars by Yara Batista. Hello, hey. I know you. You're a patron. I don't think I would enjoy watching the show as much if I didn't have this podcast as company.
Aww. Yay! Thank you.
Thank you, guys. We needed it.
Yay.
We appreciate it. And you got us from the single digits to the double digits.
Woo!
So that's majorly appreciated. So yeah, that's a good way to end the season. 2 fresh reviews.
Aw, that made my night.
Yay! I like Maggie!
I like Maggie. Yay!
So yeah, guys, if you listen and you like us, Give us a little something. Give us a little taste. Just, you know, write "I like Maggie," and then you can just write "I like Maggie" again in the
body of the review. I think that's it. I think all the reviews should just say "I like Maggie" in both.
It would be amazing if people started doing that on shows that you weren't on. Like, very confusing.
Dark Tower, "I like Maggie."
And I'd be like, cool.
Great, but that's Miles.
Miles would probably just be like, me too.
I like the Miles, end. So that worked.
All right, cool. Well, everybody, thank you for bearing with us. We missed a couple episodes lately due to illness and then Memorial Day holiday, which led to both me and Maggie thinking it was Sunday and forgetting. Just straight up forgetting.
Just totally forgetting.
So we are going to be getting back on track, hopefully, because I do want to get through this last season,
right?
Because I'm just so fucking curious what the hell they can even do at this point.
Right.
I've got no idea.
Yep.
So lead me down the primrose path, my sweet babies. I'm trying to think of how does Helena say it? My babies. Oh shit, she's gonna have to have her babies soon.
Yeah.
Ah, there's so much happening. All right, everybody. Well, we will see you next week with the premiere episode of the final season of Orphan Black. You know where to find us. Facebook.com/UnspoiledPod. Twitter at Unspoiled Show. Instagram at Unspoiled Podcast. UnspoiledPodcast.com. And shoot me an email. UnspoiledPodcast@gmail.com. And we will see you next week. Toodaloo, motherfuckers.
Isn't it strange? Feels like I'm looking in the mirror. What would people say if only they knew that I was part of some geneticist plan, born to be a carbon copy man? There in a petri dish late one night, they took a donor's body cell and fertilized a human egg. And so I say, I think I'm a clone now. There's always two of me just a hanging around.
That was an Unspoiled Network podcast.